I shall call the place Polford. You won't find it on any map. To make certain its true location is never known, I've deliberately confused geographical features. All names have been changed. But that apart, this is exactly how it happened. Polford was slowly dying. Years ago, there was hardly room in its tiny harbour for all the fishing boats, but suddenly, for no good reason, the fish stopped coming. Many people left, and like the fish, they never came back. That was when the village started to die. It's a funny thing. Until I came to Polford, I'd never seen a dead body. I'd never known real fear.
Outbreak of Fear, a thriller serial in five parts by R.D. Wingfield. With Leslie Sands as Sergeant Fowler and Nick Orchard as Constable Roy Beaumont. Part 1, The Body on the Beach.
Offered Police, Sergeant Fowler speaking. Oh, hello, Vicar. No, I'm a bit tied up at the moment, showing a new bloke around. I'll try and pop in and see you. About 11 o'clock? Fine. Goodbye. You made that tea yet, Beaumont?
Coming, Sarge.
Charles. Oh, blimey. Didn't they teach you how to make tea in that training college?
What's wrong with it?
Did you put any tea in?
Yeah, of course I did.
And you didn't put in enough, or you didn't let it stand. You gotta let tea stand. I hate weak tea.
Sorry, Sergeant.
Sit down. Now, why have they dumped you on me, Beaumont? Whom have I offended?
Well, it's only for a few weeks, Sergeant. Until they complete the reorganisation at Denton, then I'll be posted there.
It may be a few weeks for you, Beaumont, but it'll seem like months to me. Anyway, you're here, and I got to put up with you. Now, this is the police house, station below, living quarters behind and above. You'll have the small back bedroom, you'll make your own bed, but a woman does the cleaning. Come and look at the map. Polford District. This is the area we cover. It's about 300 square miles. Sounds a lot, but it's mainly 300 square miles of nothing. Sand dunes, rocks, barren moorland and coastline. There's some 40 houses in the actual village, together with a church, pub, cottage hospital and a mortuary.
Mortuary?
Part of the cottage hospital. Neither are used much. The doctor lives there. He uses part of the ground floor as his surgery. Serious cases go to the main hospital at Norriston. That's outside our area, about 25 miles away. Outside the village, scattered all over the moorlands, are disused tin mines, worked out stone quarries, isolated houses, shacks and shanties. There's two of us keeping Her Majesty's peace, my humble self and Constable Dave Clark, whom you'll meet in a minute.
Sergeant! Sergeant Fowler!
Ah, our first customer. Go and see what he wants, would you?
Can I help you? No, you can't. Sergeant!
Hey, you're giving me a headache.
I want to report a crime.
They're reporting you in. He's young, he's keen, and he's bursting with enthusiasm.
Could I have your name, sir?
Dickey. D-I-C-K-E-Y. Fred.
Address?
Sergeant knows where I live. I want to report a serious crime. My Maisie's dead.
Oh. Yeah, I see. Just wait. Sergeant?
Got him sorted out, Ben Burma?
He's reporting a death, Sergeant.
Who?
His Maisie?
Maisie's his cow. What's this I hear about Maisie, Fred?
She went over the cliff. Found her on the rocks. Smashed to pieces.
It's the law of gravity, Fred. How many times have I told you to put some sort of fence up?
She was deliberately driven over the edge.
Come off it, Fred. Who'd do a thing like that?
Oh, I'll tell you who. That weirdie who's camped out on the moor. The bloke with the beard.
He's an oil company geologist exploring the bowels of the earth to bring wealth and prosperity to all. He hasn't got time to chase cows over the cliffs.
Then what was he doing in my field 12 o'clock last night?
When I see him, I'll ask him. And if it's not a rude answer, I'll tell you. Where's the carcass?
On the beach.
I want it moved.
Well, I can't move it. One pair of hands, that's all I got.
I'll send Constable Clark over to help, together with my young colleague here. You should manage it between you.
I still say he deliberately drove her over that cliff.
I'll get Constable Clark to hook into it. He's over 70, you know. Wouldn't think so to look at him, would you?
No, Sergeant. How do I enter this in the book?
Just put deceased bovine.
What?
Didn't they teach you about moving dead cows in training college?
No, Sergeant.
Very similar to moving dead horses. You'll soon pick it up. Well, good morning, Constable Clark. How kind of you to put in an appearance.
Oh.
Heavy night?
Oh, it had its lighter moments of rapture, Sarge. Any tea going?
Oh, I'll get you some.
Oh, Tar. Who's he?
Our new little chum. His name's Beaumont. Straight from training college. Dumped on us for a couple of weeks.
Here we are. One tea.
Tar. My name's Clark. Dave Clark.
Don't let him lead you astray, Beaumont. He's the Errol Flynn of Pawford. You never know whose bed you're going to find him in.
Yeah, what's up with Fred Dickey? And half look miserable.
His cow went over the cliff last night. I said you'd love to give him a hand holding it off.
Oh, have a heart, Sarge. You'd need a gang of navvies.
Beaumont kindly offered to help. You could give him a tour of the area at the same time.
Well, we could cut it up, I suppose. Lift it bit by bit. Yeah, that's an idea. We could be in for some cheap beef.
It won't be fit for human consumption, will it?
Oh, I don't see why not.
If there's any going, I'll have some. Go on your way.
Just going. The hellfire, who made this tea?
Is it always as misty as this?
Most mornings. Rolls in from the sea. If it wasn't for the fog, you'd be able to see the old Black Rock Lighthouse. Down there, where the mist is thickest, that's one of our local beauty spots, a private graveyard.
What?
The Lansing family's graveyard, very exclusive, and been used for years. Family died out 50 years or more ago. They lived in a big house on top of the cliff. We'll see it later. Supposed to have made their money smuggling.
Smuggling?
Oh, goodies from France. French brandy, liqueurs, naughty postcard as well, I shouldn't be surprised. Oh, they were supposed to be a dissipated lot. That little cove down there is where they brought the stuff in. It's still called Lansing Cove.
Quite high up here, aren't we?
Oh, a couple hundred feet. Give you a nasty headache if you fell. You got a girlfriend?
No one regular.
Very little talent round here. I'm running around with a barmaid at the pub at the moment. Here, I'll buy you a drink tonight and introduce you.
Oh, Tom.
She's got a friend.
Oh?
Yeah, tell you what. I'll introduce you. We can make up a foursome.
What's she like?
Pleasant. Very pleasant. How are you getting on with the sergeant?
Oh, so-so. He seems a bit short-tempered.
Yeah, he's been like that ever since his wife went.
I was wondering about his wife. How did she die?
Oh, she didn't die. She walked out on him. The wound is still very raw.
Why did she leave? Another man?
No. Well, she suddenly got fed up with being a copper's wife. Oh, I'm never going to get married. Hope you don't find things too boring down here. Getting this dead cow off the rock's going to be the highlight of our week.
Fowler to Clark. Fowler to Clark. Come in, please.
Yes, Sarge.
What's your position? Over?
On the cliff road. A couple hundred yards past Black Point.
We've had an anonymous phone call.
Who from, Sarge?
Very funny. Hope you'll still be laughing when I tell you it reported a body on the beach off Highcliff. Check it out, would you?
Oh. On our way, Sarge. Experience with dead bodies?
No, I've never seen one in my life.
Well, as it's your first, let's hope it hasn't been in the sea too long.
I can't see anything.
It'll be over that direction if it's anywhere. Current brings them all in here. You had 3 bodies in 1 week last year. Put the visitors off their ice creams.
Clark.
Hello, Sarge.
Found anything?
Not a corpse in sight, Sarge. Your anonymous call. I must have been having you on.
Over there.
Beaumont spotted something, Sarge. He's gone off like a dog after a rat. I'll get back to you. Here, wait for me.
Had I known what we were going to find, I wouldn't have run so eagerly to my first body. A man, spread-eagled face down on the rocky beach, the incoming tide lapping at his feet. The rest of him was dry. He hadn't been in the sea. He'd fallen from that 200-foot high cliff.
Here, give us a hand. Got to move him.
Well, I thought we weren't supposed to move dead bodies until the doctor comes.
Now, that don't apply when the tide's coming in. It'll float out to sea if we don't shift it. Turn it over first. Let's see who it is.
face. Look at his face.
Oh, my God.
A bearded man, aged about 40. One sightless eye staring up out of a face bloody and lacerated, as if it had been whipped with barbed wire. But it was his right eye, or where his right eye should have been.
Clark, Sergeant Fowler, over.
Go ahead, Clarky.
We found your body, Sarge. It's that oil company geologist, Aldridge. He must have fallen over the cliff.
Is he dead?
Dead? Every flaming bone in his body is broken. There's something else. His eye's been ripped out.
I've never seen a body before. How did his face get in that state?
I don't know. He stopped staring at it. You all right?
Yeah, I think so.
You sure? Corpse has got more colour than you have.
What's an oil company geologist doing in Pulford?
Pulford's a potential oil boom town, didn't you know? It could be sitting up one of the largest deposits of oil in the Northern Hemisphere.
Well, it should liven the place up a bit.
Half the locals welcome the idea. The other half don't want the natural beauty of the district spoiled. In my opinion, Pulford is the only place that oil pollution would improve.
Why'd you stay?
I don't know. It's got a certain eerie charm.
What you doing down there?
Waiting for you, Sarge.
Right, old soul, have you? Old Captain Roy? He fell over the cliff?
Yes, Sarge.
Then I suggest you come over here and try again. There's skin marks, blood, and bits of broken wing mirror.
Come in, Sarge. Just my bloody luck.
Oh, shall I come with you?
No. No, you'll moan like mad if we leave the body unattended. Someone might pinch it.
There, look. Skid marks. And this is where it hit him.
Must have been going at a fair old lick, Sarge. It's a wonder the car didn't go over the edge as well.
It wasn't a car, it was a van. A blue van.
Well, how do you know?
Because I use my eyes, Constable, which is what you should flaming well do. Now look there, in the grass. You think that might help you with your inquiries?
Number plate. LXT123. Mr. Mitchell, Lansing House's blue van.
Brilliant, Constable. How do you do it? There's the doctor. Well, I'll leave you to look around some more in case there's anything else you've missed. Well, doctor?
Dead about 2.5 hours. Fractured skull, broken neck, broken legs, broken ribs. Did you notice these fragments of glass on the jacket?
That's the wing mirror. You think he was struck by a van and sent flying over the edge?
A van? Oh, yes. That would account for the rib damage here. The fall wouldn't have done it. Oh, Mary says I'm to invite you round for a meal tonight.
I'm quite capable of getting my own meals, thank you.
No, I said you weren't. It's a social invitation, so we can both enjoy your charming company. These facial lacerations are interesting.
What caused them?
Now, hard to tell. There's so much blood and sand down. I should be able to tell better when I get him back and clean him up. Well, are you coming or not?
What will we have to eat?
If you're invited to dinner, George, you don't demand to see the menu first. I think it's chicken.
Roast potatoes?
Why don't you ask the colour of the plates? If you don't want to come, fair enough. I'll ask your new constable.
All right, I'll come.
That right eye is interesting.
Could a bird have done that?
Possible, but I don't think so. Was the body in this position when you found it, Constable? Constable?
If you're going to be sick, Beaumont, kindly move downwind. It's his first body.
They say the first is always the worst. Are you all right, Constable?
Yes, thank you. Sorry, but no, he was face down.
Even if he was face up, it couldn't have been a bird. There's far too much blood there. That eye came out while he was still alive. Oh, nothing more I can tell you until I get him back to my place. It's just like old times, Sergeant.
I thought this one would please you. Clarky, give the doctor a hand with the body. I'm taking Beaumont with me to visit Mr. Mitchell.
this Mr. Mitchell, Sergeant?
Mystery man. Only been in Polford a couple of years. Bought the old Lansing house up on the cliff.
The Lansings? They're the one with the private graveyard, aren't they?
The haunted graveyard, that's right.
Haunted?
People say there's lights moving about the graves at night. Old Lansing looking for his dead wife. I say it's courting couples doing their brass rubbing. Ah, here's the house.
Oh, it's big, isn't it?
He's not short of a few, Bob. Funny thing, Mitchell was head of the Keep the Oil Men Out of Polford campaign. Looks as if he's keeping them out by knocking them off cliffs. Let's see what he's got to say for himself.
Yes? What do you want?
The girl who answered the door was the most beautiful thing I'd seen for weeks, months, years. Blonde, sexy, suntanned all over. I state that categorically because she wore nothing under her loose, unbuttoned housecoat. She had a tiny mole on her stomach. I didn't notice the colour of her eyes.
Police, miss. We'd like a word with Mr. Mitchell.
He's not in.
I think you'll find he is, miss. He was looking out the window at us as we walked up the drive.
I'll see if he's available.
Your mouth's open, Bob.
Who is she?
No idea. That's the sort of body I'd much rather find on the beach.
In the lounge.
The house reeked of money. The lounge was panelled in exotic woods. A full-size snooker table sank knee-deep into a thick-piled carpet. A projection-colour TV stood alongside an enormous replica of a pub bar, which propped up Mr. Mitchell, a well-built, swarthy man in his mid-50s. His eyes were bloodshot, and he was very unsteady on his feet.
Sergeant Fowler, come in. Sit down. Pleasure. Great pleasure.
Ah, thank you, sir.
Drink? Let me get you a drink.
No, thank you, sir. I'm driving. It's very dangerous to drink and drive. You seem to have sunk a few, if you don't mind my mentioning it, sir.
It's not a crime for a man to drink in his own home, is it?
No, miss, not in his own home.
Should I introduce you, Sergeant? Miss Kim... what's your second name?
Reynolds.
Miss Kim Reynolds, a friend.
He hasn't been out all day.
You're a mind reader, Miss Reynolds. I was just about to ask that. You haven't been out at all today, then, sir?
That's right.
I'm his witness.
You own a dark blue van, Mr. Mitchell, registration number LXT123.
That's correct.
Would you like my constable to do that for you, sir? Your hand seems to be shaking.
I'm all right. Thank you.
Nothing worrying you, sir?
No.
So you weren't out in your van this morning?
We just said so.
Mr. Mitchell?
No, I wasn't.
And was Miss Reynolds with you when you weren't out in your van this morning, or did she stay here?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know damn well. You left your front number plate behind.
You bloody fool. I said you should go back.
Shut up. Go upstairs. Put some clothes on.
Hold on, miss. Before she goes, sir, was she with you in the van?
No.
You sure? We've had enough lies.
She wasn't with me in the van.
Right, miss. We won't need you anymore.
Thank you.
Right, Mr. Mitchell. You know me. I'm all for the easy life. Suppose we forget everything that's been said up to now and start from scratch, eh? Have you been out today, sir?
Yes. I took the van into town to pick up supplies. I was coming back along the cliff road.
What time would this be?
A little after nine. He didn't give me a chance. He suddenly dashed out in the middle of the road, screaming. I pounded the horn, I slammed on the brakes, but there was no way I could miss him.
Had you been drinking?
God, no, I didn't start drinking till I got back
you
here.
You said he was screaming at you?
No, someone was chasing him. That's who he was screaming at, pleading. He was in fear of his life.
Who was chasing him?
I don't know. The mist was still quite thick. It all happened in a split second. He charged out in front of me. His face... I saw his face just before I hit him. He was terrified. Oh, my God. His eye.
What about his eye?
Nothing there. Nothing there at all.
You smashed him over the edge. Did you bother to stop to see if you could help him?
He was beyond help. It was a sheer 200-foot drop. He was beyond help.
But surely you stopped, got out the van.
You hadn't seen the look on his face. I couldn't get away from there quick enough. I was terrified. Terrified of whatever it was he was running from. Is fear contagious, Sergeant? Because if it is, I caught his fear.
Yes, Vicar. Right. Goodbye, Vicar.
Oh, Clarky.
You haven't been taking your bits of stuff down to the old Lansing graveyard, have you?
No. Why?
Figure's worried about strange people creeping round the crypts at night. Didn't want to embarrass you if it was you furthering your sex life.
Oh, Graves turned me off, I'm afraid. We'll need a statement from Mitchell.
He'll be in tomorrow with his lawyer.
Are you going to charge him, Sergeant?
With what?
Dangerous driving. Failing to stop, failing to report an accident.
He did report it. He phoned.
An anonymous phone call. You can't...
Listen, Beaumont, when you get your new posh division, they'll probably run a league table for the highest number of bookings. But down here in the sticks, we like the peaceful life. Aldridge ran out in front of the van. Mitchell couldn't avoid hitting him. An unfortunate accident, nothing more.
But his eye...
The doctor will have solved that mystery by the time I get there for dinner.
You reckon?
He used to be a home office pathologist.
Get away.
Gave it up a couple of years back. Bought a practice down here.
Not much good at curing his patients, but can always tell you what they died of.
Not very funny, Clarkie. You contacted Aldridge's next of kin?
All the Met boys are doing it through the oil company. No family details, home address or anything in his wallet.
Fair enough. Who's minding the shop tonight?
Meant to have a word with you about that, Sarge. I promised young Beaumont here I'd take him down to the pub tonight.
Calm catting?
Well, if our luck's in. Only, I'm supposed to be on duty.
And I've been invited to roast chicken round the doctor's.
Oh, you could have all the phone calls switched through to the doctor's, couldn't you, Sarge? I mean, not that I expect there'd be any.
All right, Clarkie, but you owe me one. And I'm first in the bathroom, Beaumont.
Yes, Sarge.
Right, there you go, then. Get that down inside you.
Sarge, cheers.
Cheers. Ooh. Hold on, there's a girlfriend. Rose!
Just a minute.
Well, what do you reckon then, eh?
Very nice.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, sexy legs. This is our new copper, Roy Beaumont.
Nice to meet you, Rose.
Was you with him when they found that man on the beach? Both his eyes out. Makes me shudder.
Only one eye, Rose. Sally in yet?
Should be in later. Why?
Roy here's dying to meet her. Thought we'd make up a foursome.
Oh, she'd like that. Poor Sally.
What about some service, then?
Phone, sir. I'll be back.
Right.
What did she mean, poor Sally?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. Here, who's that bloke she's serving? Never seen him before. Someone's happy. What's the joke, Pete?
Go on, Albert. There's the police. Go on and tell them what you've heard.
What's this then, Albert?
The ghost of the moor.
Yeah, they can laugh. But I know what I heard. I heard screaming.
Well, tell us about it, Albert. I could do with a laugh.
That fog's as thick as anything outside. Can't see a hand in front of your face.
Or behind it.
No. I'm coming back on the old horse and cart. Took the shortcut, the road through the moors near Harry Day's place. And, well, my old horse knows the way home blindfolded. So I must have nodded off to sleep. Only for a minute. Then it wakes me. A scream. The most awful scream. Frightened the living daylight out of me at day.
Could you stop and investigate?
Oh, did I, heck? I just flick the reins and come galloping home.
Very brave, Albert.
Well, what could I have done out in that fog? It wasn't even sure which direction it came from.
Oh, opposite direction from which you galloped off, I reckon, Albert.
Yeah, no sense in talking to you. I know what I heard.
Now we've upset him.
What do you reckon it was?
Oh, he was asleep. He dreamt it. Ah, you're in luck. Here's Sally. Over here, Sally.
Oh, my God.
Say when.
When? When?
Oh, damn fine dinner.
Good. Heard anything from Phyllis?
No, and I don't want to.
A certain?
Not for me, no.
She phoned here, you know. Left a number. Just in case you wanted to get in touch with her.
Oh, well, I don't. She left me. She knows my phone number. Did you examine the body yet?
If we must talk shop, yes. I did. We'll have a written report tomorrow.
The lacerations on his face?
There were thorns embedded in the flesh, the hair, and the clothes. He'd run full pelt straight through a thorn bush of some kind.
And the eye?
Imagine running full pelt into thorns.
He ran into the bush.
He tore his eye out, and still he ran on. The pain.
Pain would have been terrible. He could have been running away from something he feared more than the pain.
Mitchell said he was running from someone.
Well, he could have been high on drugs. We wouldn't have known what he was doing. He wouldn't have felt anything.
That sounds more like it.
Except I rush samples through to forensic. They phoned through to say there was nothing. Oh, no. I'm not going to be called out tonight, am I? It's like pea soup out there.
Here, please. Sergeant,
it's for you. Constable Clark, Mrs. Trevor, what's all this?
Sergeant, it's my Debbie. She's out there. She's missing. You've got to find her. You've got to send a search party out now. She's out there.
Now, Mrs. Trevor, take it easy. Now, sit down.
What's all this about, Clarky?
She came bursting in the pub in Elliver State. Thought her Debbie was round Linda Jones' house. Been there all day, but Linda said they'd been out playing on the moors. Linda come home 2 hours ago, left Debbie there. Thought she'd been back by now.
She's only 10. Anything could have happened to her. You've got to send a search party.
Well, here, Mrs. Trevor. Drink this. Now, go on, drink this.
There's something else, Sarge. Albert Masco was driving his horse and cart near the moors where Debbie was. He said he heard screams.
Get the car.
Oh, we'll never find her in this fog.
You heard what I said, Clarky. Get the car.
We searched, but with visibility down to a couple of feet, even the sergeant had to admit it was hopeless. So we crawled dejectedly back to organise a full-scale search for first light. That was my first day at Polford, and my body. In the morning, on the moor, I was going to find body number two.
That was part one of Outbreak of Fear by R.D. Wingfield, with Leslie Sands as Sergeant Fowler and Nick Orchard as Constable Roy Beaumont. The rest of the cast, Dave Clark, Cornelius Garrett, Dr. Lethbridge, Paul Nicholson, Pete Carter, Derek Graham, Mitchell, Conrad Phillips, Fred Dickey, Fred Bryant, Rose, Gilly Grattan, Albert, Douglas Leach, Kim, Deborah Page, and Mrs. Trevor, Patricia Gibson. The program was directed in Bristol by Brian Miller.